Hello guys, this is Surya here from All About FPL. So this episode is kind of very unique because the three of us haven't been on a stream for probably over 6-7 months now together. So what we're going to do today is kind of look into chip strategy, all the double game weeks and blank game weeks news that we have now, and how we could get better in the upcoming weeks using the various chips that we all have currently, assuming a lot have triple captain over, but that's not still the case. Srini here has got the triple captain as well, so he has all the set of chips available, so it kind of gives us the edge to discuss all scenarios and likelihood chip strategies come out of it. So firstly, thanks Srini and Alex for joining in today. So as you see, I'm a United fan and Alex is pretty much known in Twitter to be a City fan, and Srini, as you could see, is another City fan, so it's going to be a lot of banter fun in today's stream. Thanks for joining in, guys.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Been a while.
Yeah.
It's a good thing that we can discuss this chip strategy. I feel this is the part of the season where we can have a good edge over the casuals.
Yeah.
Hopefully, if we can get things right. Yeah. So I'm excited for this. I think it will help our decision making also. And we could also give a good background on the upcoming doubles, blanks, and the all possible strategies, so that it'll be easy for everyone.
Yeah. So thanks, guys. So what we're going to do in this episode is that, can you move on to the next slide? Yeah. So what we're going to look now in this stream in 40-45 minutes is that we're going to break down and see what all the upcoming doubles and blanks based on the current information that we have. And on top of that, add all the likely scenarios that could emerge out of the FA Cup results, because the FA Cup is the main thing that could lead to blanks and doubles in the coming weeks. And once we are done with that, we then go into each of the chip. Take wildcard, for instance. Take Freed, for instance. Take bench boost, for instance. And triple captain, for instance, for those that still have it. And look at each particular game week that you could possibly play it. And then come up with a chip strategy combination that's 4 or 5 or 6 that's very popular, that's generally being used, and that could go well this season as well, to give you different options. And to conclude, we'll be giving out our own chip strategy at the moment and why we have done that, because it's obviously a lot depending on the team, because a lot could have triple Newcastle, triple Arsenal, a few could have Brighton. I think Srini has Estupinan, and then he's still raging that one of the goals was given offside over the weekend. Yeah, so I have Mitoma for a while. So this is the key to basically set up your chip strategy. So to conclude, we'll be giving out our own chip strategy and the reasoning behind it from a team perspective. So when you look at... Srini, can you go to the next slide? So to get started... So from all the double game weeks from 24 to 28, so we have two doubles between 24 to 28. That is one that's happening in 25 and one that happens in 27. So the one in 25 is a unique situation. So generally, you either have a blank or you either have a double. But in 25, it's a unique proposition wherein we have four teams that's doubling and four teams that's blanking. The reason behind the blank is that it clashes with the Carabao Cup final, which United are going to play at Newcastle. And subsequently, United's game versus Brentford and Newcastle's game versus Brighton have been postponed. Similarly, four teams, due to their blanks from game week 7 and game week 8, have been scheduled to double in game week 25. So there's four teams, that's Arsenal, Liverpool, Wolves and Everton, that double in 25. And four teams, that's Man United, Brighton, Newcastle and Brentford, that blank in 25. So this in itself is an iconic situation, because in all my years of playing the game, we either have a blank or we either have a double. Or even if it's a blank and double together, it's generally one or two teams that blank and one or two teams that double. Here, it's four teams and four popular teams that's blanking, and equally popular two teams from the top six that's doubling. So that's kind of a very interesting situation. And to make things even interesting is that in game week 27, we'll have another double. And the two teams that blank in 25 are doubling in 27, which is Brighton and Brentford. assuming Brighton, all of us have at least one Brighton, say, for instance, Estupinan or Mitoma, this is an interesting proposition because you don't know what to do with them in 25, but you also know they have a double in 27. The same goes with Brentford, with a couple of players already having Tooney, and a few have me, David Raya, and for instance, people like Andy Martin has Mbeumo in their team. So it's kind of a very interesting situation in terms of Brentford. Let's neglect Palace and Southampton because not a lot of us have Palace and Southampton assets in our teams. And even their double kind of looks very, very not so great on paper. Maybe Southampton could have a new manager bounce, but Palace, they've been okay. They've been picking their point, but then Zaha's not there for a while now. So it's kind of, there's not a lot of assets to pick from that, to be honest.
But the picture is also put off. Like, they are up against City and Brighton.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
To inform patients.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a fair enough point. Then comes Game Week 28. So Game Week 28 is going to be a blank. And why is it a blank? Because it clashes with the FA Cup quarterfinals. And what we have now in front of us is that four games are confirmed. That's Nottingham Forest versus Newcastle, Chelsea versus Everton, Aston Villa versus Bournemouth, Arsenal versus Crystal Palace. Why these fixtures are confirmed? Is because of the fact that all these teams have been eliminated from the FA Cup already. So these four teams surely will play in 28. And another interesting thing to see here is that Arsenal. So Arsenal will double in 25 and will also have a sure fixture in 28. The same could go for Newcastle. They blank in 25, but they surely have a fixture in 28. So that's another interesting proposition to monitor because you... All of us have Trippier, a few have a Botman too, and a few still have Almiron in their teams. So that's, again, that's a question mark of what to do with Newcastle assets because they blank, but then they surely play in 28 and also have a chance of doubling in 29, which I'll touch base in a bit. Now, taking a step back and looking at the potential fixtures that could get added to this list, the most obvious one is two fixtures. It's Liverpool versus Fulham and Wolves versus Leeds. And for that to happen, it's plain and simple. So Fulham play Wolves in the FA Cup, fifth round, and it means either Fulham go through or Leeds go through. So if Fulham beat Leeds, then Liverpool and Fulham will blank. And Wolves versus Leeds will be a sure fixture. And if Leeds beat Fulham, that means Liverpool and Fulham will be a sure fixture and Wolves versus Leeds will be a blank. So this is the most obvious fixture that could get added. So it could be either Liverpool versus Fulham or Wolves versus Leeds that get added to the blank game week 28. Considering the remaining four fixtures, I have Brentford and Leicester highlighted in orange because of the fact that it depends on only one team. But then Leicester play a championship opponent. And that means, and Leicester have also also starting to show some good form. They come off some brilliant win against Spurs this week and Iheanacho, Madison is back. Their new signings are firing right from the get-go. So I really fancy Leicester to beat. That means Brentford and Leicester will also be a bank. There are three other scenarios that comes for us is that Man City, West Ham, Brighton, United and Southampton, Spurs. It's even more complicated because both set of teams are in the FA Cup, and even if one scenario happens and one team gets to beat their opponent in the FA Cup, that game will be called off, that will be postponed, basically. So, having said that, City play Bristol, it's again an easy fixture that we can all assume City to go ahead. And even in case City have a huge cup upset, it's West Ham, and West Ham have to beat Man United. So, it's an either-or situation, and I really don't fancy these three fixtures going ahead. There's a couple of odds that says of the likeliness of the blanks, but it's plain and simple. In terms of Brighton and United, Brighton plays Stoke against Stoke are a championship team. With all due respect, Brighton are really good in the Premier League this season, so I fully expect Brighton to beat them. The same in case of Spurs. Spurs play Sheffield United, who are second in the championship, if I'm not wrong, but then you still would expect a team that has Kane, Son, Kulusevski to at least beat Sheffield fairly comfortably. So that is what we have till now. So can you move on to the next slide? Yeah.
So just to summarize the Game Week 20 blank scenario, these four pictures or the confirmed pictures, like they can't blank. Like Forest, Newcastle, Chelsea, Everton, Villa, Bournemouth, Arsenal, Palace can't blank in Game Week 28. They are surely not blanking. And the only fixture that is likely to be added is an either or. It will be either Liverpool, Fulham or Wolves, Leeds. They both can't happen simultaneously. It will be just one of those two fixtures. And the other four fixtures are very highly likely blanks. The other big teams like Brighton, United, West Ham are very likely to blank.
Yeah, so thanks, Rini, for summarizing that. So this is where we are at the moment. So Alex, with all the information that we have right now, how do you feel approaching the next few game weeks, especially because we know we'll have the 28 fixtures before game week 26 deadline. So how's your thought process right now, and what are you looking to personally in your team?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something we'll see when we get more in depth with the different chips, is that everyone sort of has to pick their battles coming up.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to get the best of both worlds with all of these game weeks coming so closely one after the other when the teams so wildly vary. So, you know, throughout the course of the season, we've been targeting like six or seven teams for the most part. And now we're starting to see that blossom out at the 10, 11, 12 teams that people are targeting.
Yeah.
So for me, it's really a question of looking at where you want to take those risks and try to get that extra advantage, that extra ceiling over the crowd, and, you know, pick the game weeks where you think that other people are going to bet on that high ceiling, and it might not come through for them. So picking those, and I know for me personally, blank game week 28 is one that I'm not necessarily so concerned about, and I'm sure we'll get into that later, just because the teams, as Srini just mentioned, the teams who are playing in that game week, most likely, except for that potential Liverpool-Fulham fixture, that we already own them for the most part, or they're just not really great assets, and it's just sort of a one-week punt. So that's sort of my initial perspective on things there.
Yeah, exactly. And it's even more interesting. I didn't look at the exact numbers, but then the chip usage in the top 100K and the top 10K has fairly been really high this season. That's something that's really interesting to note, because assuming triple captain is widely done and dusted for most managers, but still in terms of chips like bench boost, chips like wildcard has been heavily used. That kind of gives me and gives all of the managers that's chasing an interesting proposition, because if you time your chips right in the coming weeks, there's easy ranks to gain. So there's not a lot of gap between 1 million to top 100K, and then top 100K to top 50K is kind of still in close battle. So even say someone that's ranked 500K and has all the chips left, you could even realistically aim for a top 25K or a top 50K if you time your chips effectively. And as you mentioned, for instance, the free 8 and 28 does not seem to have a huge upside, because the players that are good, we already have them. And the ones that surely play don't bring in a lot of points by the looks of it. So you just have to pick your own battles. You just have to see what your team is at the moment and decide on. So having said that, now let's jump into the next set of the stream, wherein we look at the likely doubles and blanks after Game Week 28. So Game Week 29 is going to be the biggest double of the season. Why? It's plain and simple because of the blanks that was caused by Game Week 28, and also a few blanks that happened in Game Week 7 and Game Week 8 when the Queen passed away. So that could be at least 10 plus teams that could likely double in 29. That obviously means that's the biggest double of the season. And when would we know about this is that this could be announced technically anytime after 26 and before 28, because we have the FA Cup done and dusted in the midweek of Game Week 25 and 26 as well. Let's hope it's announced before 27, because it gives us the edge of what happened with Brentford and Brighton, because Brentford and Brighton are the two key teams that double in 27. It would be really great to know what happens with them in 29 and their likely doubles in 29 beforehand of knowing what to do, even though because they could... Sure, they could most likely blank in 28. That could be a huge free hit call. Maybe we look into that. 30 and 31 could involve a small double for Brighton, because Brighton have still a lot of backlog of fixtures to be scheduled on top of what happens with them in the FA Cup. So Brighton could double in 30 or 31. This could be a small double. This again, which team they would double depends on which goes into 29, the other one comes into 30 or 31. So this can be announced anytime between 28 or 29. And game week 32 is going to be another blank game week because it clashes with the FA Cup semifinals. And 4 to 8 teams could blank in game week 32. And so far, we know three fixtures are surely going ahead. Basically, that's 6 teams. All these 6 teams are already out of the FA Cup and their opponent is also out of the FA Cup. So that's a sure 3 fixtures there. This will be the fixtures that the confirmed game week 32 fixtures will be confirmed after 28 because the game week of 28 clashes with the FA Cup FA Cup quarterfinals. So once the FA Cup quarterfinals have been done, we'll clearly know which teams will blank in game week 32. And this will also give us an idea of which teams will double in 34 because the teams that blank in 32 will again double in 34. So this information could be known before or after double game week 29 deadline. Again, if it's before 29 deadline, it could be a game changer. But again, it's either or it could or it could not. And the last double would be the game week in 37, wherein all the remaining fixtures will go in because it's a free midweek. It doesn't clash with the Champions League or the Europa League, and there is no broadcast issue. So any other fixtures that couldn't be scheduled in 29 or 34 or any of the other midweeks will go into this, where probably 6+ teams could double. So this is what the scenarios look like after 28. So that's 29 and 34 could be double. 29, 34 and 37 could be huge doubles. 32 will be a blank. 30 or 31, and even there's a chance that 35 or 36 could be small doubles for Brighton if the 30 or 31 doesn't happen. So this is where we stand post game week 28. And the key information here is that the 29 doubles could be announced between 26 and 28. And let's hope it happens before 27, at least selfishly, because all of us, I think, have one Brighton at least in our teams and would really want someone like Tooney or even Ben Mee, yeah, for instance. So... Yeah.
That timing is, I think that timing is really important for me or a general strategy of a game week 27 wildcard. That makes sense because if you get the confirmed game week 29 fixtures before the game week 27 deadline, and there could be teams who double in both 27 and 29, and that could be a great strategy. Like we can particularly pick on the teams which who don't blank in 32 also, and then have a double in 27 and 29. That could be the place where you can attack. And like just looking at the table, what we have on the screen right now, like from the table, we know that there will be information coming in only after the game week 26 deadline. So right now for game week 24 and 25, how much can we plan? Like that's the question for me. Like do we look at just these 2 weeks or just confuse about the 27, 28, 29 right now itself, or just look at these 2 weeks separately?
Yeah, I think it's a fair enough, very good question. Because, for instance, if you take Liverpool, they double in 25. But then what will happen to their game week 28 fixture versus Fulham would be known only after game week 25 and before game week 26 deadline. So it's a huge gamble that you have to take, I would say, in terms of, say, one Liverpool attacker is fine. Say, for instance, you want to bring in Trent. For instance, Trent, I watched the game. He was really good in an attacking perspective against Everton. He was crossing a lot. He should have had an assist that was not given. So you could move early and then try to reap benefits out of it. But then that could also backfire. So it ultimately boils down to how much risk you're willing to take at your position, I would say. I would really want to pick on Alex's brain on what exactly are you thinking in terms of Liverpool, because we traditionally know they are supremely good FPL assets, but then they have not fired for some time now, including the likes of Salah. I'm not bringing in Darwin Nunes now into this discussion, but then yeah. So how do you see Liverpool as a team, Alex, going, because with the double coming up? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a tough one to judge because, as you said, they've been so poor for so long, and they had one good performance this past weekend against Everton, and we know they have key pieces coming back with Jota, with Luis Diaz is back in training, reported today, VVD is back. So, you know, you would expect, and we saw this earlier with a lot of the elite managers in the beginning part of the season, where the bias from the past 3-4 seasons pretty much still like was carrying through. And people have finally sort of shake that off. And right as everyone has shake that off, we get this amazingly appetizing double where all those thoughts of Salah's hauls from the past seasons just come flooding back. And so for me, I'm personally without any Liverpool assets at the moment, which makes it a tricky place because on one hand, I look at that double of Crystal Palace away, Wolves at home. And regardless of the form that Liverpool are in, as long as they have Salah and Nunez up front for those games, you know they can score goals. The defense is a bit of a different conversation. But then I look at the fixtures around that, you know, Newcastle away this week. I don't think that Liverpool, Liverpool could continue the form that they started with that Everton fixture. But Newcastle away is just such a difficult place to go that my expectations for Liverpool there are super low. And then after the double in 25, they play United at home, which you'll know very well. So your guys have been playing amazingly recently. I think you would back them to come out with a win there. You know, Liverpool can, of course, score a goal or two, but I wouldn't expect the defenders to keep a clean sheet in that match. And even for Salah and Darwin, it doesn't look the greatest match. And then, you know, game week 27, they have the Bournemouth away match, always a good fixture. And then, as we just discussed, they might blank, maybe not, in 28. So for me, my initial reaction when that came out, and it still sort of has stood as I've thought through things, is that I really want to try to take advantage of that game week 25 double as much as possible. You know, even if Liverpool had lost the game against Everton and then lose against Newcastle, the fixtures are just too good to ignore pretty much. The upside is there. You have to buy a ticket to the lottery in order to get lucky. And so that's something that's been driving me to free hit 25, and we'll get into a bit more detail on that later. But for me personally, I'm looking at attacking that Liverpool game week 25 double as much as I can without necessarily setting myself up for failure later down the line. So it's a tricky thing to manage, but personally, I am looking to exploit that double as much as possible.
Yeah, that's actually a very good kind of summary to look at Liverpool, because attack-wise, they could easily get firing. They just need one good half, and that's pretty much the quality around the Liverpool's attack is seen. And with players like Jota and players like Lewis coming back, it's going to improve. Defense-wise, I'm still not very, very confident about what to do with Liverpool, because they are still in a tricky price point. They're not at all cheap. For instance, if you bring in Trent and then they still keep conceding goals, and then to remove him and then to spread the funds, it's going to take another 2, 3, or 4 transfers for that mistake to be corrected. But I'm really looking forward to attack Liverpool. And then I have a lot of nostalgia tied down to Salah, which I cannot rub off for various reasons. That's probably because of doing a lot of history blogs, looking at each of his iconic calls. But then, yeah, so I really hope to attack Liverpool in 25. And see where it goes from there. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think something that you touched on there that is something for people to consider when they're making their plans is that, you know, a lot of people don't like the idea of free hit 25, which I'm a proponent of it, but most people that I've talked to aren't. So let's say you're of that mind. You have to use free transfers to bring in Salah for 25, pretty much at the bare minimum. I think all of us engaged managers are looking to bring in Salah for that and to captain him. And then a lot of people that I've seen on Twitter are talking about getting another Liverpool player, whether it's Nunez, whether it's Trent, whether it's someone else who's coming right back from injury, etc. But just as you said, the tricky thing is that, okay, as well as they could do in that double, you then might be facing a nightmare scenario after that where you have them in your squad. They don't have the fixture in 28. Against Fulham. Fulham beat Leeds, let's say. And then you're facing a tough
United and Bournemouth after the double. Yeah.
Yeah, you're facing a tough United game. You're facing, okay, you'll be fine holding them for the Bournemouth game. But you'll just have to use free transfers on them sooner or later, just with everything going on, especially with all the money that's going to be tied into them, especially when we have Haaland in our squads, who's already cemented there with that much money. Other people have Kane, et cetera. So it's just a tricky thing in my mind that people will need to plan for it. And maybe some people are completely sort of on the up with Liverpool and they're fine holding them. And that's a perfectly fine position to take. But if you're someone like me who's a bit tentative on their prospects outside of that double, it just becomes a really, really tricky situation to navigate.
Yeah, exactly.
What I like about the game with 25 free hit personally is that for a team like, say, for example, team that has Trippier, Shaw and Botman, and then you have Bruno and Patterson, like all five in the defense are not playing that game week. So that's a tricky situation to be in. And then you anyways have Rashford and Haaland, so that makes out 8 to 9 players already surely ruled out. And then you are depending on Bruno. Bruno is now not confirmed to start. He's in a tricky phase. Patterson is just on grass, and we don't know if it will be touch and go, or we are still not sure how things can be. So it's like, but the question is like, the point, if you are bringing in the players, like, are they good defenders to get in for game week 25? I don't have 5 defenders starting for game week 25, personally, for my team. I have 0 defenders right now. And who are you planning to bring in game week 25 free hit? Like, to use on Wolves or Everton? I'm still not convinced on those teams to, yeah. That's
yeah, we'll talk about that when we get to that slide. Yeah. But yeah, that's also an important piece of the conversation.
Yes. Moving on. Yeah. So this kind of is a whole summary of where we are at the moment. So this basically summarizes everything that I have explained so far. Huge shout out to Lego Mane. His chat has been really amazing in pulling out the data. I think he did it today morning. Yeah, so this also has the likely doubles in 29 and ones that could go in 34. I'm not going to go very deep into that because of the fact that there's a lot of factors that could affect it. And we are anyways 2-3 game weeks away from that information being confirmed. So this chart is a nice representation of what you could do from 24 to 28, and then analyze the situation of what could happen in 29, 30, 32 and 34. Yeah, this is basically a summary of whatever we have spoken so far. So moving on. Yeah, this another big shout out to Ben. So without Ben and Lego Mane, I think our lives would be way, way, way harder. They've simplified our lives to such an extent that we just look into two charts and we clearly know what's going to happen till the end of the season. A non-engaged manager can definitely not say so. Yeah. So moving on. So this is the key points that I would like to brief before we go into each of the chip. So for instance, take these couple of teams that's on your screen right now are the most popular teams at the moment. So for instance, take Brighton and Brentford. They blank in 25, but they surely double in 27. They could blank in 28, which is very highly likely, and double in 29. So you have a team that's blanking, doubling, blanking, and then doubling in a shorter fashion, in a short period of time. So for instance, the next team that I would like to brief is Newcastle. So they blank in 25 because of the Carabao Cup. But then they have a sure game in 28, and then they could double in 29. So this could be a team that you want to look at when you're looking at 28 and 29 together. For instance, you could wildcard in 28 and set up a team for bench boost in 29. So Newcastle could be one of those teams. When you go to Arsenal and Everton both double in 25. They surely have a game in 28, but will not double in 29. So this again is a scenario wherein you'd have 3 Arsenal and you bring in, say, 1 or 2 Everton in 25 and hold 28. But suddenly in 29, you want a bench boost, but then you have 4 or 5 assets from these teams and they play only once. So that's another information that you would have to keep in the back of your mind. The same with Liverpool and Wolves. So they both double in 25. One of them could surely have a game in 28, depending upon what happens in that Fulham Leeds game. And they both could double in 29. And the last team here that doesn't double anytime till 28 is Arsenal and Chelsea. Arsenal and Chelsea are very interesting because those two teams' fixture kind of swing at 25. They have a really good run of fixtures from 25. Probably Chelsea, you could argue, from now on itself. But for Arsenal, they play Arsenal this week, if I'm not wrong. Termed as the return of Unai Emery. So Arsenal and Chelsea, the thing is they don't blank in 25 and also in 28. They surely play in 28 and could also double in 29. So to me, these 8-9 teams are really, really key. Take Everton and Wolves out, but the other teams are really, really important when you try to navigate the upcoming game week, because easily any team, any FPL manager would have at least 6 or 7 assets from these teams, counting Arsenal, Newcastle, Brighton, Kepa owners in terms of Chelsea. So these are the scenarios. So if you see that as teams that could double at the same game week, teams that could blank and vice versa. So there's a lot of combination that comes out of it. So which takes us to the next step of looking at each of these chips in silo.
Yeah, and something to note here real quick before we move on, I think, is something that I noted earlier that, you know, these first four teams, Brighton, Brentford, Newcastle, and Arsenal, are teams that we've had assets from this entire season. They've been, especially Arsenal and Newcastle, amazing assets, amazing team performances. Brighton and Brentford have their star players, et cetera, et cetera. Those last five teams, you know, Everton, okay, they're much different now. We can think of them more like a Burnley with Daichin. Liverpool coming back to form. Wolves, Villa, and Chelsea, they're all still question marks in a way, sort of. And not necessarily question marks, but they're just not generally as good as the assets that we can get from the other teams. So we're getting, you know, more fixtures, especially with Aston Villa and Chelsea there, who are sort of well set up, theoretically, in terms of, like, fixtures for this period. But then you look at their assets, and it becomes difficult, where on one hand, you look at the fixtures and everything points to them, but then we look at FPL and the perspective of those assets individually and everything sort of points away from them. So that's just something that I think people should keep in mind to balance, is a lot of these teams that are coming up who are attractive because the number of fixtures they have are less attractive just because of the way that they play and the assets that they have. So that's just something that I've been keeping in mind, and I would implore others to do as well.
Brilliant.
Very well put up. Thanks to Surya also for summarizing this. And one thing to add is, like, on top of this, Brighton could double in game week 30 and 31 or 31 also. So that could mean, like, three double game weeks for Brighton in a quick span, like 27, 29 and 30 or 31. So I think we are all going on the triple up there. But yeah, let's see, like, how we can manage with the strategies now.
Yeah, yes.
So the first chip is what we'll discuss is, like, what are all the windows to play the free hit in? Like, there are, like, 6 windows where we can play the free chip. There are all pros and cons for playing the chip in all possible situations. Like, there is no right or wrong where you can play this chip. But to start with, the first one is game week 25. Game week 25 is when these four big teams, where we have good players and we have players in FPL, most of our FPL teams blank, like Brighton, Brentford and United, Newcastle blank in FPL Game Week 23. And that makes FPL Game Week 23 a good window. I think that can be summarized by Alex, because Alex is leaning towards the 23 free hit for now.
Yeah, I think with Game Week 25, the individually, in terms of the free hit in just that game week, you know, and if you want to just go ahead to the free hit 25 draft you have real quick, I won't take too long on this. But obviously, triple Arsenal, and for someone like myself who owns Nketiah, and Nketiah looks fine for 25, but there's an issue that could arise there for people who own White. You know, a free hit 25 allows you to get on an optimal Arsenal triple up for that week, which I think is really important. But obviously, most people already have triple Arsenal. Triple Liverpool, obviously, is the main proponent of free hit 25. If those guys bang and you go for free hit 25 and you catch pretty much what we saw this week with the people who had Haaland, KDB and Mahrez, if you catch something like that, you are going to soar up the ranks, and a lot of it rests on them. And then alongside that, you know, an Everton defender to maybe a Wolves player. If I go for free hit 25, I probably won't have a Wolves player in my lineup. And then closer to that time, you can, you know, punt on someone like Mahrez here. Go for target City assets who you think will start in that fixture to get a really easy fixture. And so that's the benefit of it in terms of an individual game week. And a lot of that rests on the Liverpool assets. You know, that's nothing to be understated. Pretty much the success of free hit 25, because of how the landscape is set up and most people have everything else in that game week covered, it really, really less rests on Liverpool. If they shit the bed and don't perform, then you're not going to be happy with free hitting that. But the upside is definitely there. And the other thing that I really like of it is that, like I said earlier, I don't love the look of Liverpool assets around game week 25. I am personally very happy if I am to go with free hit 25. I'm very happy to sort of sit back and be waiting, ready to like laugh at everyone else who brought in double or even triple Liverpool for them to, okay, may hopefully do well in that in the double game week 25. But then afterwards, people are stuck with them and have to make their free transfers revolving around them when there are other issues being thrown around outside. So that's the other main benefit, in my opinion, is that in the game weeks around this double game week 25, in 24 this week, and 26 and 27, you have a bit of an edge over the crowd even then, because you weren't forced to use your free transfers on these assets we most likely don't really want long-term anyways.
Yeah, I think keeping this draft in mind and then just looking at imagining 28 fixtures, it's such a big difference, because the upside, if Liverpool haul big, like Liverpool go berserk and score three in each game, there's an enough upside, like you could turn a net of 30, 40 or 50 points easily, and that in my opinion is a big achievement out of a free chip. So definitely 25 is a good window. Moving on, the other game weeks that we can play.
Yeah, so the other game weeks where we can use the free hit is the next thing is game week 28. Game week 28 is when there is the biggest blank of, like, one of the biggest blanks of the season. Like, we have only among the big teams, we have confirmed fixtures of only Arsenal and Newcastle play. So that's where you can use the free hit. Like, if you have players like Rashford, Haaland, and Kane, and you don't want to drop down the structure of your team, save the wild card for later, you don't want to mess up the total structure of your team and have, like, But this game week 23 will mostly be determined if Liverpool is involved in it or not. Like, we'll know that if there is the Fulham Liverpool game happening or not, because we have Andreas in most of our teams, Andreas, Mitrovic, and we'll be getting in, most of us will be getting in Salah for game week 25. So this game week 28 could be possibly depend on, like, if the Liverpool fixture is, versus Fulham fixture is blank or not. That the only main caveat is that we'll know that only before the game week 26 deadline. We won't know it before game week 25, because that's when the FA Cup fixtures end. And so, like, when there are, it's likely to be a game week with just five fixtures. Arsenal, Chelsea, Newcastle, all the big teams involved. So the main con of this, or major drawback, is that with just these five fixtures, like, imagine, like, you want to attack these fixtures. You have, like, Arsenal. You will already have triple Arsenal. You have Kepa. You will have Trippier and Botman. So what's the need to play the free hit? If the team is, that's a point to note. Because if you are already covered with triple Arsenal, double Newcastle, and Kepa, I think you are good to go for game week 28 without a free hit. You can manage it, assuming Liverpool don't.
Yeah, and one more thing is that sometimes people kind of think that you always have to play 11 players in a game week. And sometimes in the past, I've gone in a blank game week with 9 players or 10 players. It's totally fine if there is no upside. There is no rule that you have to always play 11 players. If there is no upside, and I feel there is the upside towards a game week 28 free, it is kind of less. Maybe that would change if the Liverpool game goes in there and Liverpool hit form as well. Again, something that we don't know at the moment, something that we wouldn't know before Liverpool played before we have the double game 25 deadline. So for me, I would slightly put game week 25 free ahead of game week 28. But then again, coming back, it's very team oriented, because as Srini was telling before, I have Bruno, Patterson, Trippier, and then Shaw. These four defenders are gone, and if you have to put in a decent enough team for 25, I need to do a lot of surgery. So coincidentally, I think all three of us edge towards the 25 free hit. But then, yeah, that's the comparison between 25 and 28. Shani, you want to quickly run through the other four as well? Yeah.
The other four are like 29. It's the classic, it is the biggest double gimmick of the season. 10 plus teams likely to double. Like, you will have the teams like United, Liverpool, City, Brighton, Southampton, Newcastle, and all the big teams double in game week 29. So the case of using 3-8 in a double game week, where big double game week or a small blank game week, like you are chasing the upside or the ceiling. It's the classic case of you need to decide what is good for your team before that and after that, because in case like game week 29, you have the, all the big teams doubling. You will already have players like Haaland, Rashford, and all the other players who are doubling. So what's the need to play? Who are all the players who you don't have in your initial team but you want on your free? That's the thing to decide. So yeah, that is a week where wildcard or bench boost can be used with big doubles. That is the drawback of using the free in game week 29.
Yeah.
And the other thing is game week 32, which will be another blank game week. Like it is the blank game week due to the FA Cup semi-finals, and we could have 4 to 8 teams blank. If the results are FA Cup results aligned in a way, we could see a huge blank, and all the big teams like Arsenal, United, City, Spurs, Newcastle, Chelsea, Brighton, all of them blanking. So that will be one of the craziest blanks, or we'll have just 4 fixtures and not so great teams involved in those 4 fixtures. So it's like you don't have the high ceiling players to choose from, because the confirmed fixtures in game week 32 are Brentford versus Villa, Palace versus Everton, Liverpool versus Forest. So who do you want to attack from these teams on a create? Like it's just the Salah maybe, and just the Liverpool players, and I think we'll have Tony already in our teams by then. So I don't see many players like to use on a feed. So that is not a great option. But that is again dependent on the cup results. We need to see how the results go, and if all these teams blank or some of the teams blank, we need to see. Game week 34 is another place where you can play the free hit, where 8+ teams double. And game week 37 is another scenario where 6+ teams could double. So these two are very far behind, and we don't know the scenarios which teams will be doubling and which will be the fixture. So that is the risk which we are taking, like to navigate the period from game week 25 to 33 without using the free hit and setting up your team. So that is the major con of this.
Go ahead.
No, you're all good. I just wanted to add in 2 sort of larger scale points that I think are also really important regarding free hit. The first one is the sort of general idea of whether you use free hit in a double game week or a blank game week. And for those listening, it really comes down to what type of manager you are, because I ran a poll on Twitter about a week ago asking people this, and I've seen other people talk about it. And it's close to a 50-50 split in the community, it seems, between what people typically favor. Because in a blank game week, you have the guaranteed floor that you'll get, you know, about 10 points better than average teams with a bit more of a ceiling, probably a 10 to 20 point gain in most cases in a blank game week from a free hit. In a double game week, there's a higher ceiling, but there's a lower floor, because especially in 29, and this is one of the reasons that I'm not favoring free at 29 as popular as it seems to be, is that with game week 29, with how many teams double in that game week, especially with Arsenal also having a single fixture against Leeds at home, which is an amazing attacking fixture, especially. So many teams for double game week 29 without any chips will be amazingly set up and in a place to get lucky themselves. So my issue with free hit 25, as much as I like the idea in theory of attacking a double game week with a free hit to go for that upside, is that I think that so many people are already going to be in a position to get lucky for game week 29. And with that free hit, yeah, you're putting yourself in a bit better of a position, but you're still just rolling the dice. It's still a lot about luck. And a lot of the teams, I think what we'll see in game week 29 is that a lot of people who play their free hit, some will, of course, bang and go really crazy with their scores, but I think we'll see a lot of other people who are sort of right around the range that regular teams are scoring that game week. So that's one thing, is that figure out what type of manager you are, figure out which one you'd rather attack with your free hit, and then sort of start with that and go from there. And then the other thing is that free hit, you know, the most important thing is what does it do for you in that singular game week? But the other thing, and something that I hinted at with my thoughts for free hit 25, is that when you, let's say you set your mind on a free hit in blank game week 28, because you just want to cover your bases, you want to field the full 11, perfectly reasonable perspective to do that. Let's say someone is of the mind that they can do that. you literally can, you know, go and take Ben Krellin's spreadsheet that he provides all of us with, and you can literally like take scissors to it pretty much and cut out that game week. And it just makes, especially with the pandemonium and the mayhem that we have going on with all these back-to-back, cutting out one game week just completely helps your thinking. And so for me with free hit, the other sort of thing that I think is important is, regardless of where you stand, you know, any of these game weeks have the pros and cons, as Srini and Surya have laid out here, to go through. Any of these are viable options, but I would implore people to pick one as soon as they can, you know, reasonably fathom, because by setting yourself up with just, you know, tunnel vision in a way, like I'm going to free hit in this game week, it just makes the planning around that a lot easier. And I know that myself in previous seasons, I haven't really planned for that. I've gotten to the week, I've been like, damn, I need to free hit now. And then I realized that the 3-4 transfers I just used weren't really going as effectively as they could have been.
Yeah, very well summarized it. Like the thing is, like as you mentioned, we should have a strategy before the game week 26 deadline. We can think upon the strategies, but we should have a somewhat clear idea of what we are going to do by before the game week 26 deadline, because that is when we'll get to know about the 28 blanks. That should give us a better picture.
Definitely.
Yeah, this is the draft. What we already discussed, like sample, like how things would be if you are free hitting in game week 25. And yeah, coming to the next chip, like wild card. Like so, there are again it is a chip where you can make the we have this chip for just one part of the season. You can use it only one time, and I think this is the most powerful chip in the game where you can change everything. So yeah, again, there are five, six places where you can use the chip. There is no right or like right or wrong on this is the perfect time. It is totally team dependent, but we'll just run you through the pros and cons of where you are playing this chip so that it can give you a better idea of planning out for your teams. So the first one is what I am considering at the moment. It is the game week 27 wildcard, because this would give you a picture, like because in game week 27 we'll know like the four teams are surely doubling. We already know this information. The Brighton and Brentford are having good doubles. Like Brighton are up against Leeds and Palace, Brentford are up against Everton and Southampton. So this makes things very interesting. Like they both are very good quality teams and they are up against not so good teams. So this is the one to take advantage of. So that is what, like this would help you plan. And also there could be teams, like as we discussed before, there could be teams like Brentford and Brighton who could double in 27 and 29. So we can take advantage of these teams on triple up on Brighton, triple up on Brentford, get the Rashford, Trippier, Haaland template so that we can manage, like manage the other higher owned players. So what is the major con of using the game week 27 wildcard is that we'll be more or less forced to use the free hit in game week 28, which will leave us with no chips for the post game week 30 doubles and blanks, because game week 28 will be a bigger blank game week, and the teams that double in game week 27, like Brighton and Brentford, are more or less likely to blank in game week 28. So yeah, that is what you need to have in mind. And the next window to wildcard is game week 28, which is a blank game week. Wildcard in a blank game week sounds not so great, but the thing to be noted is that there could be teams who play in 28 and also double in 28 and are also good teams. So this is the set of, like, this is the union of which could work out really well, because Newcastle, Chelsea, Arsenal and maybe Liverpool, these are the teams who could play in the blank 28, double in 29. So we can use it to take advantage if you don't already have players from these teams. Like, that is the major thing. The main caveat of using game week 28 wildcard is we already have more players from these teams. Like, we are already on Arsenal triple up. We already have Kepa. We already have Trippier. So what's the point of using the game week 28 wildcard? And it could create a big benching dilemma in game week 29, because, like, if you are you aren't necessarily picking 15 good players to make it up for the blank in game week 28 and the double in game week 29. So that could mean a huge benching dilemma for game week 29. or you could use the, you'll be forced to use the bench boost in game week 29. Game week 28 wildcard should be planned along with the game week 29 bench boost, is what is my suggestion is. Because if you are using the bench boost, if you're playing wildcard in 28 and then using the bench boost later in game week 33 or 34, it is a bit of a risk. You don't know what is going to happen in these weeks, what teams are going to double and blank, what are the injuries, what are the form changes, we don't know. So it, you'll be forced to more or less use a game week 29 bench boost if you wildcard in game week 28.
Yeah, I think that's and kind like, of the holy grail of FPL, that you wildcard in the second of the season, you wildcard, and then immediately the next week you bench boost, get the bench boost out of your way, and then start selling your bench assets and try to inject funds back into the team. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So the next thing where you can wildcard is game week 29, where there could be the biggest double game week, as we told. While planning for game week 29 wildcard, we should not just think about the game week 29 doubles, but also need to think about the game week 32 blanks. So that's what we need to keep in mind, because in a game week 29 wildcard, we'll more or less have good players like Alex mentioned, who will put us in a position to be lucky and get the good points. We will have more or less 10 teams. Big teams will also be doubling. So we'll be in a good position. But if you're using the chip in game week 29, you should also think about the game week 32 blanks and cover up. But the con of using it in game week 29 is it would mean more or less using the bench boost in game week 34. That would be the double game week with, there will be another double game week, but there is a big gap between 29 and 34. So this is the place where you don't want 15 good players, maybe 13, 14 good players and save up the funds. But you need to think about like if you can use up the funds for the game week 31 and 32. But then again, you could use a few more transfers to make the game week 34 bench boost. So multiple hits may be used. That is a major problem in game week 29 wildcard. And the game week 33 wildcard is one option. That is a single game week, but it could be planned along with the game week 34 double. Like, the game week 39 wildcard is a game week where all the big teams play, like the two top six teams play against each other. It is to be noted. Tottenham and United are up against each other. City and Arsenal are up against each other. Both of these fixtures happen in game week 33. So it is a tricky bit to manage with these teams. So, and like game 33 wildcard is not a great one to suggest, but it could be team driven and could be useful. And the final one is the game week 34 wildcard, where you can target the game week 34 doubles and so on. If you have used the bench boost already, just the wildcard for the final 5 weeks, you know everything, you have most of the information in hand, you can use it to extend and attack the game week 34 doubles. So yeah, final thoughts on wildcard, Alex. Like, you can you summarize up when?
Yeah, I think to start a bit broad and then get more specific, one point that one of the things that you guys said at the beginning there is that it's the most powerful chip, which is definitely true. But the thing to keep in mind as well is that just because it's the most powerful doesn't mean that that's all good. Because with bench boost and with free hit, you're pretty much guaranteed net positive points. With a wild card, you could get negative points because you could change your team for the worst pretty much. So with this period and something that Srini just noted there in terms of going over the game week 33 wild card particularly, and also with game week 27, is that to make the best guaranteed effect of a wild card with blanks and doubles like this, you want to be using chips back to back, and most likely you want to use wild card and bench boost back to back rather than wild card and free hit. And I think once we get to our conversation at the end, and Srini, you talk about your game week 27 wildcard plans, I want to poke some questions there, because I have some doubts about wildcard 27 followed by free hit 28. But generally, I do think that, you know, like game week 33 looks to me to be a pretty powerful way to use it, as much as that con there is important and something that people are overlooking with game week 33 maybe being a tough week to build for particularly. By setting yourself up for a bench boost the week after, you're almost, you know, sort of shortcutting the potential negatives that can come with a wild card, because you're just setting yourself up for immediate success, and you should get a nice gain in points there, and then your wild card can be a success, you know, instead of playing it somewhere in the middle. And especially with like a Gaming 29 wildcard there with a really important column there of the gap between wildcard and a potential bench boost later on, you know, there's potential for that to go wrong. And I think we know from previous seasons that a lot can change in those last 10 game weeks. As much of a consistent season as we've had so far with, you know, Arsenal, City and Newcastle assets being sort of top of the pile and United more recently, at the end of the season, all hell breaks loose sometimes. And we have these players like Lingard and like Madison and Iheanacho who just sort of come out of nowhere almost and become almost must-owns. So being able to adapt to that sort of and potentially holding the wild card to adapt to that could be good. The downside of that is if you hold it and nothing really changes, then you're stuck with a wild card that's potentially useless. So I think that that's sort of the overall summary that I would give. And then I think in terms of like just a quick note on these individually, I do think 27 could work out really well, but it does force you, like Srini said, to pretty much use the free hit right afterwards, which we'll talk about later. And I don't personally like 28 doesn't make much sense to me because I think you'll be having pretty much my idea is that with those teams that we talked about before that I noted on, like Villa and Chelsea, where they could have some assets who could come good, especially in individual game weeks, you know, any player can catch a haul. But if you're wildcarding in game week 28, or for those who are wild or free hitting in 29 as well, this is an issue for me, is that for either of those scenarios, wildcard 28 or free hit 29, you're buying those players, even if it's just three players from Chelsea and Villa combined, that are probably sticking in your squad for quite a long run of time. And as good as that may set you up for 28 and then 32 when a lot of the big teams blank, there are still game weeks in between where you don't really want to be owning those assets. So that's just sort of a skepticism that I have there. And then, yeah, I like game week 29 as a potential, and I like game week 33 with the bench boost right after as a potential.
Brilliant. Thanks, Alex, for summarizing. So that leaves us with one more chip that's majorly everyone that has, which is the bench boost. Again, bench boost kind of gives, reduces the option, unlike a wild card or a free hit. So you have, so in front of you, we have four options: giving 27 bench boost, 29 bench boost, 34 bench boost, and 37 bench boost. The interesting thing here is that three of them are doubles and in the highest of priority. 29 is the biggest double, 34 could be a medium double, and 37 could also be a fair enough decent double. One more thing is that in 27, it's a double, but it's a very small double with a lot of the major teams playing only once. So why I'm going to stress on 27 bench boost is the fact that even, for instance, take 23 as a very good example. A lot of managers benched Shaw, who went on to score 12 points with Leeds because the fixture was there. The same with a lot more assets. There were a lot of managers that benched players that caught a good haul, good single game week haul, and started players like Odegaard, who ended up blanking, or for instance, started City defenders that got rotated massively in both the games, except for Rico Lewis, who didn't play, and there was a lot of jam coming out of that. But the fact why I'm saying here is that it's the same scenario. A lot of managers benched Tooney. A lot of managers benched Mitoma, Estupinan, as their first sub, second sub, and the same teams double in 27, which would mean you start them. That means you put one or two assets like an Arsenal attacker or, for instance, a good striker in your first sub and second sub, and they could catch a haul. So the fixtures in 27 are really, really good. So I strongly feel that the narrative of using bench boost to be a success only in a double game week is far, far from over. You could bench boost in a major single game week and where in a few teams double. Could also work out really, really well. And one more prime advantage of bench boost is that when you get it done and dusted, you don't have the pressure of having a bench boost, having to wildcard or create a team or have a team wherein you have 15 players playing. So when you have that outside of your window and then plan a wild card or a free hit, you go with max, say, 12 or 13 players that could potentially play. So for me, 27 bench boost, I never thought of it before. But then when the doubles came in and then and I had a look at the fixtures and what happened in 23, it kind of gives me a good confidence of 27. I'll quickly go through the other scenarios in 29, 34 and 37. There is nothing fancy for me to say here. We all know these three are going to be doubles. 29 is going to be the biggest double. 34 is still going to be a good double, especially if there's a lot of blanks in 32, which is highly likely. And if all the popular teams, we could have all the top eight except for Liverpool to blank in 32 in one scenario. If that happens, all of them will go into 34 and mostly double. That could be another good window to bench boost. 37 is something that I personally don't like, of holding back your bench boost for so long and spreading out your funds late into the season. But again, that could be a double. And if you wildcard in 34 or because you don't want to wildcard in 33 because of that tricky fixtures, 37 could be another option to bench boost. But I clearly see it, the major of the crowd going for 29 and 34 with a huge good potential for it to be successful in 27. So that's how I personally see the bench boost, guys.
Yeah, and to sort of pile on to that, I definitely agree with a lot of what you said there about getting it out the way early, that there's not really a set game week. You know, I think this is certainly the most difficult chip to give advice on, because there's really no advice to give here. It's just whenever you have a week where you like your team's bench, play your bench boost. You know, I think 20 points is probably like the mark to aim for of a good, because that's average of 5 points, an average of one return per bench player. That's an amazing bench boost. This past week, I was one of the people who benched Shaw, and okay, maybe I shouldn't have benched him, but my bench had scored 21 points along with an Andreas 6-pointer and then a 3-pointer from Ward, I think, and a 2-pointer from Bueno. And I just pulled up on my phone back from game week 19, two seasons ago, I think. In 2021. It was a huge double game week. I had a huge score. That was the week when Diaz and Stones went crazy. But I played my bench boost that week with I think four doublers on my bench. And my bench scored 20 points, which compared to the single game week just passed, it's done worse. So that's just something, is I think, you know, we can sit up here and give advice on these other things. And I think for wild card and free hit, they're super important. But for bench boost, in my perspective, it's just there's nothing we can really say. It's just use your bench boost when you can. And generally, it is probably better to get it out the way sooner than later. But I do think to counter that and sort of play devil's advocate to that point, this season, there's not as much of a stress on the budget. So yeah. Because that point's really all about budget. It's that you have an extra 3-4 million probably invested in those bench players when they could be fodder. And this year, we aren't seeing like, you know, a need for a threemium. You know, a lot of us have threemiums and can fit it in pretty easily, but there's no need to like stretch to getting four premiums in your team. There's not a huge benefit to that. And therefore it doesn't really put as much emphasis on using it early as much as I would agree with that generally.
Yeah, that's actually a very good point to make. Considering that it mostly you fluke out on a wild, on a bench boost. I remember two seasons back, I had El Ghazi for Aston Villa. He went suddenly berserk in a double game. We had Mitchell from Crystal Palace. I don't remember him scoring before that before that time I bench boosted or after that. But exactly bench scored on a bench boost that I did. It's maximizing your luck there. But then, yeah. And the budget is a very good point, because you could basically build a team with Mitoma. Basically, I went from Salah to Mitoma. I would have imagined doing that last season, going from a Salah to a 5 million midfielder, never in my dreams. But then this season, it's kind of spread out, and you can easily bench boost in and out with a good enough team. Yeah, that's a really, really good point. Yeah, that's good for mine. Yeah.
Yeah, very well put up. Like, that's the bench boost. And the next one is the triple captain, which among the three of us only, I have the triple captainship. Surya used it on Rashford in 22, and Alex used it on Haaland in game week 20. So if you still got your triple captain chip left, so these are the windows where you could possibly play. One is the confirmed double in game week 25 for Arsenal in against Leicester and Everton. Saka, Odegaard, like right now Saka looks to be a great option compared to Odegaard, but we just that is the confirmed one. The next one is the Salah in 25 versus Palace and Wolves. Those fixtures are really good, and Palace are poor at the back. We can call them out. They are the top three poor sides in the league defensively. So and Wolves are not the old Wolves of like the defense first, and they are not that great at defense. So Salah could be an option. Like he got a goal recently, and if he continues his form in game week 24 also, maybe we could try Salah in game week 25. The next one is Haaland in game week 29. That is possibly in game week 29 versus Liverpool and West Ham if the big double for City happens. And that could be Kane in game week 29 also against Everton and Southampton. So those are again two very good fixtures for Kane to use the triple captainship. And that could be Kane again in against Brentford and Southampton in game week 37. So, but that all depends upon when the Southampton game is confirmed for Spurs. It will be either in game week 29 or in game week 37. More or less in those two game weeks. And the last one is Salah again in game week 34 versus Spurs Fulham, or in game week 37 versus Villa and Fulham. But that is again totally dependent on how much Fulham progress in the cup, or if they get knocked out to Leeds very soon, or they not get knocked out in the next round. It all depends on various factors. And again, to summarize these options, like the Salah one in 34 or 37 could be too long to wait for. Say, like, we can't expect Fulham to win or like go deeper in the cup. So what I suggest, if you have the triple captainship, use it on Salah in game week 25. It is a big risk to use, but why not take it up? And the triple captainship is the chip where you need not necessarily focus on surely doing it this week. Like if it was Salah the last season, it was against Leeds and Norwich. That can be a situation where you can say it is surely a triple captain. Yeah. You can't use any other chip. But this year, it is like more or less where you are using the other chips and you can find a good place to triple captain still. So where you use the other chips, like we discussed before, also matters while using the triple captainship. Because I see not a big difference between Saka in 25 or Salah in 25, or you could wait in game week 29 for Kane or Haaland again. But in game week 29 is the way where how you plan your teams to use the other chips. If you're using any other chips in game week 29, that needs to be taken into account.
Yeah, and like to summarize this and also counter one thing that she told me off the stream was that he's interested in putting it on Mitoma on 27. but then that option is not on screen conveniently. So the thing is with Salah, it's really interesting because they currently have just one fixture that needs to be rescheduled, which is against Chelsea from game week 8, which most likely will go into game week 29 because it's a game that's televised in the UK. And that Fulham game really depends on what happens to Fulham in the FA Cup. So if they go out, they'll surely play 28. But then that means they'll not double after 29. Even in 29, it's going to be a double that includes Chelsea. So Salah's last possible likely window could be just 25. And but the main con for me there is that they play heavily in that period. So they play Newcastle in Newcastle, and then they have United coming up. They play Madrid twice in the Champions League. Maybe if Salah is rested, that could be one that could happen in one of those two double game week 25 fixtures, or he could be hooked early. So that's the minutes is what concerns me, especially now that Diaz is coming back, Jota is there. That could be rotation there, which kind of put me off. Salah, if you're brave enough, if you want to chase, I think Mitoma's. I have a personal bias for Mitoma because I got him in early. We put him in our differentials blog long back ago. He could really, if he scores two goals, one each in each game, and then you triple captain him, that's like a huge upside that you could potentially get out of Brighton's by triple captaining Mitoma. And also, one more interesting fact is that he's always been on 3 bonus. Whenever he scores in the last few weeks, he's always ends up picking up the 3 bonus. So I would strongly suggest Mutomar, even Tooney as a trim captain option in 27. Because as Sweeney said, the other game weeks that you could potentially play it in 29, 34, or 37, you would probably want to use other chips. So 27 is a decent double for two teams. You could try your luck there. Considering you weathered so far without using the triple captain chip, I would say, yeah.
Yeah, going back, I think like I should agree that I did miss up on the opportunity of Rashford in 22 or Haaland in 20. I think I should have taken that opportunity, but we never know like if what's going to happen ahead. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Last season, like everybody said, Salah was the option to do against Leeds and Norwich. He had about 84 points in triple captain, and then came KDB with 90 points. You never say no to another option.
Yeah, it's so luck based. It's such a luck based chip. Just, I mean, even in a double game week, like obviously in a single game week, variance is anything can happen. Double game week, a bit less so, but it's still the same thing. It's just put yourself in a position to get lucky. Yeah. In my opinion, go with one that you'll enjoy watching and like it'll make it more enjoyable for you.
Yeah.
I mean, I just have nothing wrong with that. As illogical as it may be for some people, it's just it'll make it fun, and there's the potential there for a huge haul. So,
yeah,
I don't hate any of those. I also don't hate Haaland in a single game week either. You know, I think we all know that hasn't scored his last hat trick this season. There will be more to come. Just pulled it up. I was looking at the fixtures of like, okay, when is there a really good home fixture? The one that like springs out to me, which okay, it's very risky to hold on to this, but in there's Leicester at home in 31, and then there's Leeds at home in 36 or in 35. So I just imagine coming down the home stretch. Obviously, if City make it to the UCL semis, then the rotation gets in the way there. But potentially saving it for a Haaland single game week at home when there's not really rotation risk could also be a really good option too. That's also something I'll throw out there.
Yeah.
The title challenge is still very close, and we would require Haaland to play every single minute, and the GD also is taken into account. That could be a great factor. What I like about this strategy you told is like you can wait till game week 35, 36. If not, you can go for someone in game week 37.
Yeah.
Possibly on Salah. Yeah.
That's I think I had a really strong intuition to triple captain Haaland for that Wolves game in 21. After everybody triple captain him in 20, I unfortunately activated and then pulled out. I got scared because of Rashford's double. He ended up scoring a hat trick, and I was beating myself. Okay, I missed an opportunity here because there are 17 points if I'm not wrong. But then, anyways,
single game. Yeah,
I got lucky in the end. 20 points. Yes. But the point of it was that even a single game for Haaland is definitely a good option. Yeah.
So this is the final. We have discussed most of these strategies, and so like, Surya, can you quickly take us through these strategies?
So to give you a quick overview of whatever we spoke so far, everything that's been touched base, that one I'll quickly read through it and then go into our own chip strategies. Wildcard in 27, free in 28, and bench boost in 29 could work really well because. Brentford, Brighton, double in 27 and could double in 29, but they'll blank in 28, scenarios like that. You could then wildcard in 28 and bench boost in 29. That's kind of the best combo that always people tend to do, wildcard and immediately bench boost. You could use free it in 32, 34 or 37, or you could use it in 25, like the three of us sitting in the screen. That could be an option. Then you could directly wildcard in 29, free it in 32, or 37 and bench boost in 34. Again, the con for us here is that 29 to 34 is a huge window, and you would pick on 15 assets and a few would get injured. Having said that, I forgot to mention one thing, which is the window between 28 and 29. There's an international break happening. For instance, you wildcard in 28 and then it's an international break and we haven't had one since the World Cup, so I assume every player would be really involved. There won't be any big pullouts, and if something happens in terms of injury, you are caught in a tricky situation. And the next is a free hit in 25, wildcard in 28 or 29, depends on the team, and then bench boost in 29 or 34. This is again a really good strategy if you're locked with a lot of players from Newcastle, United, Brighton, and Brentford, because all these teams blank in 25, obviously. The last four more, I'll quickly read through it. Heat in 29, wildcard in 33, and bench boost in 34. The con here is that we spoke about the 33 fixtures being tricky. You would want players that double in 34 for you to bench boost, but then would you want them when you wildcard, knowing that they play a tricky game, is something that you need to answer yourself. It could go well because, for instance, Arsenal and Man City play again in 33. And, for instance, you luck yourself out by picking Saka, De Bruyne, Mahrez, Allen, who got hauls in the same fixture. But then you never know. You pick up players that could not haul. That could be a potential problem. The next one is speed in 28, bench boost in 29, wild card in 34. This is kind of a different one because you bench boost before actually wildcarding. And this is something that Alex touched based. If the 29 double falls in a golden fashion, as in you don't have to do anything with your team to set up for the double because it's landed so beautifully, you could directly bench boost in 29 and then use that wildcard in 34, which could go really well. And then the free hit, you could use it in 25 or 28 or 32, depends on your team. The last two being free hit in 28, again, a blank game week, wildcard in 33 and bench boost in 34. I think it's repeated, or if I'm not wrong, it's the same 33, 34, different. The issues that 33 fixtures are tricky. The last one, but not the least, is bench boost in 29. Which is again a good strategy if the doubles fall beautifully. 32 free hit, again, it depends. It depends on what you want out of the free hit. There's a lot of the popular teams could blank there. And wildcard and double gaming 33, if I'm not wrong, or 34. That should be it. That's the digit missing. So 33 or 34, that's entirely team dependent. But I would say 34 makes more sense because 33 is again a set of tricky fixtures. So this is where we are totally in terms. And I will brief mine and before we move into Stini and Alex's chip strategy. What I really want to do is to wildcard in 28, free hit in 25, and then bench boost in 29. So this is what I personally look at because my team is dead and out for 25 because of the fact that I have Bueno and Patterson. That complexes us with the issue of having Callum Wilson. Don't ask me why I have Wilson. I have him. So it's Callum Wilson and Trippier in terms of Newcastle. So my team is kind of not set up nicely for 25. So I think I might free it in 25 at the moment and then wildcard in 28 because and the assumption here is that Liverpool play there. Let's hope that's one of the assumptions and the risk that I have to take in that strategy. And then immediately bench boost in 29. The one tricky thing is that I need to assume Liverpool play there. So I have a team that plays in 29 and also doubles in 29. And one more thing is that I'll be out of chips by 29. So that is another thing that I need to keep in mind. But at the moment, this is how my team, my chip strategy looks like. And fair to say, I don't see it changing because there won't be any new information that I would have before I could change this if I'm very fixated on free hit in 25. So yeah, that's me, guys.
Could I raise some questions there? Because I mean, you know, I'm all with you for hit 25. The reason I'm tentative with wildcard 28, okay, let's say that Liverpool do get that fixture.
Yeah.
The teams that you have blanking then are City blank with a possible double game week right after.
Yeah.
I'm just going down the list and looking at both Brighton and Brentford blank, who will have a good double game afterwards. We know that they have really good assets.
Yeah.
Then you also have Spurs, which Kane's the only one we're really looking at, but he'll have most likely a double game week right afterwards involving Southampton at home. Yeah. And then we also have your team, United, who do have a – will probably have a tough double game week in 29 with Newcastle away. But I look there and there are four or five teams that, in my opinion, at least in the long term, if whenever I'm wildcarding, I probably want anywhere between four and six assets from those teams. So the downside that I see is that you can, if you're wildcarding in 28, you can either ignore them and let's say pick three or four of them to go on the bench for 28. And then you're a bit short-staffed, I guess, with those players. Yeah. That's one option. And in my opinion, I don't like that because I think that they just have the better assets generally. The other option is to, you know, get those five or six players that you want from those teams. But then obviously you're only fielding eight, nine, or 10 in 28. So my question would be, well, and then I guess to add on top of that, the other doubt is that, okay, let's say you come up with the like perfect wild card to get around all those questions that I just raised. As you said earlier, there's the international break between 28 and 29. So even if you come up with the theoretically sort of perfect wild card to get through all of that, you could still get messed up by that international break and you're left with that bench boost for later. That's my issue. And I think for me personally, the sort of answer to that would be to just delay the wild card until 29, field eight or nine in game week 28 anyways, and then the rest of the plan pretty much goes just as you said.
Yeah, so I think you tackle an answer that you saw coming from me, which was to field lesser players in 28, because I strongly see there's not a big upside in 28. So for me to use the free there, so I'm clearly not sold on using the free there. And my team is kind of messed up for 25. That pushes me to use it in 25 because I don't know what happens in 32 or 34 or 37 yet. So that I could make up some points there. And that is what I feel, because I strongly feel bench boost is better used in 29 because that fixture is going to land. My assumption is that there's a lot of implication in terms of TV rights with a couple of tricky fixtures. So most of it will go into 29, a lot of popular doubles. So I think I can fairly negotiate the 29 bench boost with fielding, with loading my wildcard in 28 with players that, like say for instance, City, Brighton, Brentford, and then start with 9 players or 10 players. And then maximize whatever I have in 29. But the point that you raised in terms of international break and delaying it to 29 is also something that's my backup plan if in case I can never work out a good enough wildcard draft. So what I could then do is to do wildcard in 29. But one more thing that I really don't like is to delay the bench boost. So this is my fixation of needing points in 25 and also not wanting to use the bench boost late in the season. But yeah, I could totally see myself jump into wildcard 29 and then bench boost in 34 as well.
I think that's a good backup plan. And maybe you even get to game week 27 and have a bench boost ready for then too. And then
Basically do the game week 25 free hit and keep your options open.
Exactly. Especially if we get the doubles in 29 before the 27 deadline, that could be a game changer. Let's hope that happens. If that doesn't, it gets a little bit tricky. But yeah, at this point, you have to make a few assumptions like Liverpool playing in 28 or you getting double game week news before 27 deadline and things like that. But you have to sit down and then assess the pros and cons.
So this was one of the things which we missed discussing, like those who like don't have any one of the chips, like other in terms of wildcard feed and bench boost. If you don't have bench boost, you can't totally use the wildcard just to set up your team. That will be like game week 29 and then free it in one of the blank game weeks. It can be 25 also, it can be 32 also, it can be 34 also. So that is the thing just to point out. Just before we go into my chip strategy and Alex's chip strategy, I thought we'll just read this out for you. If you don't have free hit chips, you can wildcard in 29 and then bench boost in 34. if you don't have the wild card, then you can free hit to save yourself from any one of the blanks in 28 or 32, and then bench boost in 29 or 34, whichever lands good for your team. And if you have only bench boost left, you can use it in 29 or 34 just for the bigger doubles. I think this is self-explanatory. Like, if you have only one free hit left, you can use it, only the free hit chip left, you can use it in
28, 29, 34. Yeah, I think we lost him. Yeah. So, just to carry on to what Shane was saying, if you have just the free hit left, I think it's a very unlikely scenario. But then anyways, that could be played in one of the blanks in 28 or 32, or one of the doubles in 29 or 34 or even 25. And if you have just the wild card left, I think 29 is a fair enough good window to do it, because you might have the doubles for 34 as well before 29. Might not happen. So in that case, you have all the possible information that you could have possibly to work out a decent enough strategy for your team. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think it... okay, so... the tricky thing here is that he's the admin.
Yeah, he can't pull it up.
Yeah, Ali. So let's probably keep your chip strategy in discussion, and then let screen come up. Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, which obviously no one can see my team on the screen right now, but I'll sort of explain where I'm at. Oh, there, he's back.
Yeah.
Here, if Srini wants to dive in. Srini, we finished up that slide that you're on, if you want to go to your chip strategy. Is he frozen again?
Frozen again. Yeah, I think probably you can get started. Like, let's see.
Okay. So pretty much for me right now, the place that I'm in is that I have a team with Triple United, with Bruno, Rashford, and Shaw. I have double Newcastle with Trippier and Botman. I have triple Arsenal with Nketiah, Odegaard, and White. And then I have double City with Haaland and KDB. And then around that, it's sort of like fringe players pretty much, with no Brighton and Brentford. So at the moment, I am pretty much terribly set up for both 25 and for 27, because I currently own no Liverpool, and I currently, Srini, there's a slide of mine at the end, if you want to go to that, past years.
I'm not able to see it. I think I
have. It didn't look.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good. But pretty much for me, I'm really poorly set up for both 25 and for 27. So I could, with free transfers for 25, if I'm to just navigate it with free transfers, I can very easily get to Salah because I have both KDB and Bruno. So I can dump one of them for Salah, which is the most important thing. I can use another transfer on the fringe to bring in someone like Pickford or Tarkowski to get another doubler. But in terms of fitting in anyone else from Liverpool, it's very, very tough for me to do with free transfers. I'd pretty much need to do it with a hit. And as I stated my perspective earlier, I don't really like going for double Liverpool, even if it doesn't take a hit with just free transfers. And then for 27, I really like the outlook of Brighton and Brentford assets there. You know, we've seen the explosiveness of Mitoma, McAllister even potentially coming up soon, March for Brighton, and then we all know how good Tony is, and Raya and players like Pinnock and Me are also really good assets in defense. So for me, my question is, okay, how do I attack as much as possible 25 and 27 from the position I'm in now? And for me, looking sort of past that for a second, I'm not too worried about game week 28, similar position as you're in, Surya, that I'm not too worried fielding even 7 or 8 players that game week, as long as I have an Arsenal triple up there, as long as I have double to triple Newcastle. I already have Kepa. If I can add in another Chelsea player, I feel fine taking maybe a small red arrow that game week. It'll probably be pretty much a gray. I'm fine with just sort of pushing 28 to the side and not going there. And then for me, like I said earlier, with 29, looking at my team, especially as it is now, looking at just the way that the doubles are there, I'm not really worried about using a chip in 29 either, because I have a feeling that my team is going to be well set up enough in 29 with how many doubles there are that, you know, I'm not too pressed to use bench boost in that game week either. So with those presumptions, I look back and I look at 25 and 27 and I think, okay, this is where I really want to attack somehow. So not having any Liverpool right now, not really wanting to jump on Salah, I'm currently, my main option is to free hit in 25, where I go with the triple Liverpool. I take the risk there. And I'm sitting at like 600K overall right now after this past week. So I'm in a position where, you know, I can't get that much worse. So I can, you know, I want to take that risk to try to get ahead of the crowd. And if I fall a bit because it misses, then so be it. But I like the free hit in 25 to get on a non-committal Liverpool triple up. I'll then get to three Brighton or Brentford assets for 27, which I think is a good number. You know, it's not amazing. There are going to be people with five or six total, but I'm not too worried about that. You know, I think as long as you can get to like Matoma, Tony, and then one other asset from any of the teams, I think that'll be good enough to be well set up for 27, as tasty as it is and as good as wildcard 27 is as an option. I'll field 7 to 9 in gaming 28, and then I'll field whatever I can in 29. And with free hit 25, my plan would be to save the wild card until 33 so that I can do the 33 wild card to 34 bench boost. But if I get to game week 29 and I don't like my team because of the international break, injuries, whatever, I can then just push the wild card forwards and have that contingency plan to set myself up well for 29 and then onwards from there. So that's my main option, is free hit 25 and then wild card either 29 or 33. My second option, which I'm still contemplating if I back out of free hit 25, is to free hit in 28 to get that like just little ceiling, not ceiling, to get the floor there, to get those sort of guaranteed points, and then try to maneuver my way around gaming 27 and 29 with three transfers before using the wild card again in 33 so that I can bench boost in 34. So that's where I'm at right now. And leaning towards, I think I'll commit to the free hit 25 because I rolled a free transfer this past game week in with the idea that I'd probably free hit in 25. You know, I could have brought Mahrez in for Bruno. That would have been a great move. But the move that I was looking at in doing is getting in Kane and Matoma most likely for Mitrovic and Bruno or KDB. And I really like that move still. Kane's the injury to Bentancur puts me off a bit because I do think that they're a bit weaker, but yeah. It's just Kane still. I think it's a bit too, and I tweeted out the other day, like I was looking at Spurs UCL performance to get a gauge on things, but it's just Kane. He can just bag whenever. It might have a little bit of an effect on his scoring, but I don't think it's that factor is too much to ignore, really. So that's where I'm at the moment. I'll probably make that double move this game week of bringing in Kane, bringing in Matoma a bit earlier for Matoma and then some others, maybe catching up on a bit of the template that I was missing out on, free hitting in 25 and then using my next few free transfers to bring in Brighton and Brentford assets.
Sounds really good, Pranjal. I just want to ask you about, like, if you are bringing in Kane and Matoma this week and you free it in game week 25, do you plan to hold Kane from game week 26 till the double in game week 29?
Definitely. I think it'd pretty much be that I'd be setting Kane in my team for the rest of the season because, you know, I've seen some people contemplating selling him recently, too, of those who own him. And I don't really know where to stand on things because I've been set on bringing him in for so long because he's been so good. And I've been sort of not been able to do that with the doubles that we've just had. So this seems like my moment to be able to bring him in, just feel safe with him in my team for the rest of the season. Even if he doesn't perform as well, I'll still have that safety blanket of like, well, he can always perform like he did before. So I think so. And then I just look at the double in game week 29 and he has Southampton at home as the first fixture. If they do get that double, it just seems really, really tasty compared to the other fixtures there. So I think so. Yeah, I'd probably aim to just hold him.
Yeah, sounds like a good plan. So yeah, and like coming to the final one, like this is my thinking at the moment. I'm planning on game week 27 wildcard to triple up on Brentford, triple up on Brighton with a good bench. So that's the major plan. Get all the template players like Salah, Haaland, Rashford, Trippier, all also make the team. So this is the plan with 15 good players. So, and the plan is to use the game week, free it in game week 28 to manage the doubles so that I can get the doublers for both the 27 and 29 Brighton and Brentford doubles. So this is the current thinking. Like this is what my team would look on a wild card. And the other two chips are the bench boost and the triple captain. I'm planning to use the bench boost. I want to, as much as I don't like the idea of delaying the bench boost after the wild card, I'm thinking of a bench boost in game week 34 so that I can manage the it's just the fear of missing out. Like in game week 34, there will be people who use the free hit who will be on wild card. So I just want something to manage on those weeks. I don't still think it's a great thinking. I'm mainly thinking between the game week 29 bench boost or the game week 34 bench boost. Like if the 29 bench boost lands in a good way for me with this team which I have on screen right now. So that's what I'm thinking. And the triple captain is again subjective to when I use the bench boost chip. So that's what my thought process is at the moment.
Yeah, I like this plan. I think the sort of questions that I wanted to poke earlier is something that I see here, which is one, it's something that one is that the thing that I asked Surya before is that let's say you wildcard in 27. And okay, if we have the info about the doubles, then that makes it all the much better, of course. But even then, you can wildcard for a team. And okay, you're not really set on bench boosting in 29, but you could still get to 29 after pretty much, what is it, like 3 weeks between your wildcard and game week 29. It's just a really long gap, in my opinion, that a lot can happen that can change. It can make you regret a lot of the decisions that you made on Game Week 27 wildcard relative to Game Week 29. But regardless, you should be able to field a fine team, even if you don't bench boost in 29. So it's probably not that big of an issue. The other thing that I am most tentative about is that if people are to use wildcard and free hit back-to-back, which there's a meta idea in my mind that with wildcard and free hit being so powerful, you know, bench boost isn't really that powerful. It's just added points to your total. With wildcard and free hit being so important, in my mind, I like spacing them out because it breaks things down into different periods. Like, let's say that I went with the free hit 28. Let's say someone went with free hit 28 and wildcard 33. They have game week 24 to game week 27 is one window. They have game week 29 to game week 32 as a window. And then they have game week 33 to game week 38 as a window. And by compartmentalizing those things into shorter periods, you can really attack things like much clearer because there's so much that we're trying to balance in terms of planning. That's one thing that I really like about spreading them out. But okay, there's huge upside to using them back to back here. My other issue then is, okay, let's say you're on the side of, I just want to use them back to back, maximize that upside, which I think is perfectly fine. I look at this team and it just brings me back to the point that I raised earlier, where you have in this team, you have one City player, you have one Arsenal player, you have two Newcastle players and one United player. And we've known throughout the course of this entire season, pretty much, that those are the assets that you want long-term. Like those are the best assets in the game, bar none. And of course, in double game weeks, things get changed because obviously you're going to take Tony in 27 over any other player that has a single game. My issue with this, though, is that you just get stuck with these players for game week 30 onwards where, okay, you may have made amazing gains in the past 3 weeks, but then your team is just sort of tailing out and you're sort of While other people will sort of have the template team and they'll be starting to move to these, like the Lingards that I was talking about, the Iheanachos, whoever pops up, you'll be stuck trying to bring in the players that everyone already has potentially, which I see as just a potential issue where, like, as much as there's an upside here, as much as I like the plan, and I'm not trying to like discourage you from doing it because I think it's a great plan, just the main concern that I would have is it just strays away. It gets a bit too tunnel vision on the double game weeks when we've just known that for this entire season, you can make a team with double City, triple Arsenal, triple Newcastle, double United, plus a goalkeeper. And that team is pretty much just amazing, one of the best in the game. And I just think that this team, when I look at it, is just so far removed from that team that I think once you're sort of brought back to reality in the 30s, when we have a bunch of single game weeks, then it could just be a bit of a rough experience there.
I think he's looking to maximize and one go and then figure it out from there.
which sounds perfectly fine.
Attack till game week 29 and then see, plan out the final stretch from 30 to 38, what all I could do with which boost and triple captain.
That's fair enough.
I get the point what you were telling to, like, if I want to get in like a Odegaard or Luke Shaw, who are consistent players, but I'll be stuck with the likes of Estupinan and like the other players who I don't want, just for the doubles I want. But but the main thinking is the players from these quality teams like Arsenal, I've got Saka covered from Arsenal, who is their best player. And from United, I've got the best player covered in Rashford. And from Newcastle, I've got the Trippier covered. So it's just the secondary picks from the top teams which I'm missing out on, which I think I'll be able to get them with the help of free transfers.
That's
what the thought process is. But yeah, this is still open to change, and because I could not even use any of the tips till game week 30,
Yeah, no, I think it's a great plan. It's just, for me personally, for my taste, it's just there are some issues there that I would personally rather avoid.
Yeah. Perfect, then. I think we have rambled enough for a long time now. I think we aimed for 40 minutes and it's 1 hour 40 minutes. But the fact is that it's more discussion rather than hurrying through things. I think we've done our best in terms of analyzing every single window possible and also the possible permutation and combination that arrives out of it. So having said that, thanks, Alex, for coming on, being patient and being on this mega stream. I think we've never done something this big ever. So thanks for your time and your effort as well. So
thank you for having me on. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, so I hope people that's tuning in later, watching it in bits and pieces, benefit out of the information that we've discussed in this particular stream. So if you like it, do share it, subscribe it, share it with other friends as well. And with that, thanks for tuning in, guys. See you in another episode. Bye-bye.